Welcome to the Michael Rivero What Really Happened radio program.
And aloha, America. Welcome to the show here. It's Tuesday, the first day back from the holiday weekend. This is not a recording. This is live and real time. And the chat room is open. The webcam is running. All systems are going. We are ready for full tilt boogie rock and roll for truth, justice, and what they used to call the American way. And I'd like to respond first off, yeah, I had a nice relaxing weekend. I hope you did the same as well. I got a few emails from people basically grumpy that I decided to take a little time off this weekend. But, you know, I've been doing this show here on GCN for, I think this is my third year. I've actually lost track. I've been doing it long enough, I don't remember when I started. And, you know, I needed some time to focus on stuff that actually brings money into the household because, like everybody else in this country, I'm deeply mired in debt and struggling as hard as I can to get out of it. So I needed some time to focus on projects that actually are bringing a little bit of cash into the house. I've got one project from heck. The project from heck. And it's very little money and a huge amount of work, and I just need to get that out of my hair so I can focus on other things. So that's me, and I'm back. And if you were upset I was gone, you know, I apologize to an extent. I needed a rest, as I think did we all. And, of course, this morning we get up and, you know, the world is still as it was when, you know, we signed off on Thursday, which is unfortunately not necessarily a good thing here. Now, let's, first of all, as usual, Matt is in the control room, ready to answer the phone if you want to join us on the air, 800-259-9231, 800-259-9231. Matt will grab that phone, put you on the air as we talk about things, and we got lots to talk about today. First of all, as we normally do, we're gonna start with the economy. Now, the Dow Industrial averages had a great day. It exploded upward right out of the gate at the morning bell and stayed high all day, ended up 196. Folks, I'm suspicious. I mean, the headlines were trumpeting, you know, the four-session losing streak is broken. Hallelujah, the angels are singing, and peace and harmony will reign in the galaxy for all time. We just got a report here that housing prices lost a record amount of, you know, in the first quarter of this year. Housing prices fell by a record amount. Now, because so much of people's credit lines are tied into those housing prices, I mean, this is serious news for the consumer level. Yet, there was a report saying that consumer confidence is up, and in theory, on the basis of that one report, and ignoring all the other negative signs, like the T-bill prices over the weekend, And the current Treasury yields, which are not very good, and China's warning to the Federal Reserve not to get crazy with the printing presses, and we had this huge Dow Industrials on the basis of a report that says consumers are feeling more confident. Folks, I don't believe that. I don't believe it for one second. I really don't. Because an economy is not built on how good people are feeling, because consumers could be happy and confident. It was, after all, a holiday weekend. You know, people are out there, you know, having picnics. The summer season is here, and, you know, people are kind of buoyed up by that. Doesn't mean they've got money to spend. And see, normally the conventional wisdom is the more confident consumers are, the more money they will spend, or the more money they will borrow and spend. But if housing prices just took a record hit, then they don't have any equity line to borrow against. And if they've lost their job, or they've had to take a lower paying job, then they don't have money to buy anything anyway. So this idea that consumer confidence drove the stock market up 200 points today, I don't buy it at all. I think what happened is the Federal Reserve printed up a bunch of money, gave it to Goldman Sachs. Goldman Sachs went out and bought a bunch of stocks to drive up the price so it could be used as a political banner. Because it doesn't make sense that the stock market is climbing when the fundamental core of the economy, which is the working class and middle class earnings ability, is still in the Al-Qaeda. Now, the other news is not very good. If you are holding an Advanta small business credit card, if you have not already been notified, you will be in the next couple of days. Advanta's source of funding for new loans on those credit cards is apparently getting cold feet. Advanta, their niche market was the small businesses, And they've apparently got something like a 16% delinquency rate right now. So the financial entity that is behind Advanta, see, Advanta's not loaning their own money on these credit cards. They basically take money from this other unknown anonymous source. They loan it out, then the payments, the payments are owed to this other entity. It's just like the mortgage-backed securities. They're putting out the loans, and then they package them up, and they sell them as credit card-backed securities to this other faceless investor. Well, this faceless investor has basically said, we have no more money that we're going to put in to new charges on the credit card. So as of the end of this month, the Advanta small business credit cards are canceled, all of them. Doesn't matter if you've been making your payments on time. Doesn't matter how good your credit rating it is. They are all canceled, period, end of story. Those of you who have these cards are going to be allowed to pay off the balance on your normal monthly, you know, whatever, but you're not allowed to put any new charges on them. That's basically the end of it. So you may start, you know, if you need a rotating line of credit for your business, you need to start looking at some other credit instruments. And on the day that this is going out, you know, we're told that consumer confidence is up. I don't think so. I don't think so at all. Now, my wife works in telephone marketing, and she said that today on the phones, and maybe it's just because they're back from a holiday weekend and they're confronting the reality of their job, but she says people on the phone just sound angry and annoyed and in seriously, seriously PO'd mood. So I don't know where this claim about consumer confidence is coming from. Probably the same polling organizations that say America loves the president and supports the war and thinks torture is a really cool idea. But I'm not buying it. I'm not seeing it. Again, friends, use your own eyes, your own ears, your own minds. Look around you and decide for yourself if the economy is working or not. We're all being shown the Dow Industrial Average is a political banner, and this has been going back to the Clinton years. They were playing the same game back then. The Dow proves everything is fine, blah, 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 blah. I don't actually own any stocks. I don't know about the rest of you. Sometimes I think that number is not so much the health of the economy, but how much is being sucked out of the treasury and poured into the stock market, which, if you look at my earlier theory about Goldman Sachs playing plunge protection team again to try and drive that number back up, I think that's what's going on, and you're using your money to do it. Now, from other parts of the economy, we are getting from Obama's administration, the U.S. Department of Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood, is basically admitting that it is the policy of the Obama administration over the next 4 years to encourage people to not use their cars anymore. They want us on buses, trams, trains, bicycles, whatever. They want us to stop using our cars. Gee, I'm sure General Motors and Ford and Chrysler are going to be overjoyed to hear that. But that's basically what they're talking about. And again, the message is for the American people, you must make do with less because we, the government, must have more. That's the message that's coming out of Washington, D.C. It's the message that is coming out of all the state capitals. And that is the government's sole objective right now, is to convince you to live a much reduced lifestyle so that they can harvest off the extra money to spend on things that kill brown people. They're trying to put us on a wartime economy without a just war in the process. It's just looting the population is what it is. It's looting the population. So another story that we got here on the economy, and then we're going to pretty much wrap up on that one. We're starting to hear about a double-dip recession. Actually, I think it's all one long involved process. But what they're saying is that we're looking at several years of economic hard times coming up, because once the economic stimulus wears off, there's going to be another relapse and another recession. Well, the reason for that is obvious. The stimulus has been put in all the wrong places. And when we come back from these commercials, I will tell you exactly what I mean by that. Call in 800-259-9231, 800-259-9231. We'll be back after these words from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
is Cascadia Public Radio.
Aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. We're talking about the economy. We're talking about the warnings of a double-dip recession. And what's really going on? What they're saying basically is when the bailouts, the current bailouts, the current stimulus run out, we can expect a new recession. Well, yes, absolutely that's what's going to happen because the stimulus went to the wrong part of the economy. The U.S. government, Barack Obama, scarfed up, actually borrowed, several trillion dollars on your checkbook and gave it to the banks and investment companies at Wall Street to basically give them some money. Now, we were all told they were going to take that money so that they could go on making loans to us, which is why I came up with that that definition of a bailout, is taking $1 trillion from the American people to give it to the banks so the banks can loan it back to the American people at interest. But it turns out the banks aren't doing that. They're sitting on the cash in order to unwind all of these derivatives, these credit default swaps. And as I said earlier in the show, the Advanta Bank Corporation is canceling all of its credit cards. Good credit, good payment, bad payment, they're all shut down as of the end of this month. If you've got one, you know, you've got to start looking for a different credit card to use for your ongoing business. So the banks aren't using that money to improve the credit market for us consumers out here. Not that any of us want to borrow anymore. We're just trying to pay off what we've got now and get out of debt. But here's the problem. They're sitting on that money and they're swapping it back and forth to unwind all of these credit default swaps. And when the money runs out, because they're still paying themselves salaries, and they're still living in their mansions, and they're still going on their vacations and their yachting trips and all the rest of that other stuff, once that money runs out, we're still in the same situation that we're in right now. The working class and middle class of America, the entrepreneurs, the small business people, don't have jobs, they don't have clients, they don't have customers. They can't earn money to undertake new debt. They can't earn enough money to buy new products at the stores. And yes, we'll go right back into the same economic crash. No doubt somebody will say we need another stimulus plan, so let's borrow another $12 trillion on the American taxpayers' tab and give it to Wall Street to float them along a little bit longer. And of course, it's absolute insanity. You know, they're doing the same thing and expecting a different outcome. All they're doing is they're propping up their favorite bankers. And they're not fixing the problem itself, which is that over the last 30 years, the United States let its manufacturing evaporate, sent it off to other countries. In the last 8 years, the tax laws encouraged large corporations to send jobs overseas. And our working class has been decimated. And that's why they can't pay their credit card bills, they can't pay their mortgages, they can't buy new cars, they can't buy products at the store. That's why the economy is collapsing. It's not the bankers and Wall Street are in trouble, although they created the mess. The real problem is, with the economy, is that the working class and middle class people have lost their livelihoods. We're not asking for charity and we're not asking for handouts. We want back what we had before Glass-Steagall was revoked. Before the tax laws encourage the export of jobs to other countries. We want back what we had before, what we built with our own labor. That's what we want. We want back what we had before. We're not asking for handouts in charity and welfare, and I am sick of some of these ultra-rich people who every time you suggest that maybe a little bit of help is needed at the lower levels of our economic pyramid, and they start saying, oh, it's welfare and it's socialism, and you just want to bleed the treasury to give it to a bunch of worthless, no-account people who can't find a job. In a way, yeah. I want to bring back the jobs they had. And the bottom line is, when we talk about an economic system, whether it's capitalism or socialism or fascism or whatever, and I think we're fascist right now, but the bottom line is it has to be a system. And by nature, I tend to be a capitalist, although I'm not particularly good at it. but I tend to be a capitalist. But when you talk about a capitalist system, a system has to take care of all of its components equally well, or it ceases being a system. It breaks down. And that's what happened here. The banks and the government in Washington, D.C., and the brokerages and these investment firms all set up the system so they could become fabulously rich. And they didn't really care what happened to anybody else. And that put us on the path for the last 8 years to this absolute, absolute disaster that we're in right now. And until the administration is ready to look at that, and they're ready to really make the commitment to develop new industries and new technologies to bring back manufacturing so that the United States can make things that other countries want to buy. Until we bring that back, there is no saving this economy. It doesn't matter how many bailouts they do with borrowed money. It's just accelerating the decline. It just absolutely is accelerating the decline. Now, turning to California, which is illustrative of the crisis that is facing a great many states right now, and we're getting into it out here in Hawaii. Our tourism was already bad because of TSA abusing people at the airports, but the economy is not helping, and a swine flu on top of it, and it's just really, really terrible. So all of these city, state, municipal governments, they're accumulating shortfalls. They've made all these commitments, all these various contracts, and all these, not to mention all these unfunded mandates being handed down from on high. And they're running out of money. And the taxpayers are saying no more taxes. We don't have any. We don't have it. It's not a question of whether we want to. You know, again, we hear these very rich people, you know, talking at those of us who say the taxes are already too high. And they say, well, you're just being selfish. You just want to keep your money all to yourself. Yeah, actually, I do. I really do. Or if I'm going to, you know, let it out, I want to have some voice over where it's going to go and what I get back for it, which we don't have right now. So in California, they've got something like over $60 billion in debt right now. And I'll bet Arnold is sorry that he wrote off that $9 billion that Enron was supposed to pay them. But I guess that was the price he paid to become governor of California. So in California, they've got these $60 billion plus in debt. The taxpayers just voted down resoundingly, overwhelmingly, any new tax increases, which were the core of Arnold's program to revive the state economy. Arnold has then responded by saying, well, we're going to cut out all medical support, and we're going to cut out educational support, and we're going to cut out, basically saying they're going to cut out all the things that people expect to get back for their taxes. And what he has not said is, and what a lot of people are asking them, is why not cut all of these programs that are providing services to illegal aliens? They're not supposed to be here. They're not paying taxes in. Remember a couple of weeks ago I ran that story about these students who are suing the regents of the University of California. The California State Colleges are being sued because, amazingly enough, legal citizens in California have to pay more for their education than the illegal aliens, which strikes me as rather absurd if you think about it. And so what I think Schwarzenegger is trying to do is he's trying to scare the Californians into reversing themselves and saying, oh, yeah, well, okay, we'll go along with another tax increase. Because Schwarzenegger's talking about cutting all the things that people expect back for the taxes, and he's not talking about cutting any of the waste and the non-essential stuff. We're going to take a break. We'll be back after these words from our sponsor.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio? Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network. Welcome to the Michael Rivero What Really Happened radio program. Call Mike now at 800-259-9231. 800-259-9231.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here today. And we're just finishing up here on the state of California and his governatorship, Arnold Schwarzenegger. Basically, the state has been run into a huge fiscal hole, which I think tells us all that Arnold is a wonderful movie star and looked really good in the Terminator movies, but he really was not qualified to be the chief executive of a state because, the buck stops there. And California's troubles are Arnold's troubles. And he's trying to basically do what every other politician in trouble does, stick the taxpayers with the bill at a time when the taxpayers just don't have the money. The last thing you should be doing is raising taxes during hard economic times. It's good for the government, good up to make the shortfalls and stuff, but people who are just barely hanging on, higher taxes can put them right over the edge and drastically accelerate the problem, is really the situation there. All right, now moving on, obviously big news today is that Barack Obama has appointed Judge Sotomayor to be the first Hispanic U.S. Supreme Court justice and the third woman to serve on the high court. I don't know that much about Sotomayor, except that I recall reading that her position was the Bill of Rights applied only at the federal level. And I believe the specific case involved the Second Amendment, but her idea was that it is perfectly permissible for individual states to pass laws that are directly in violation of the Bill of Rights, because after all, that's the state's business and not the federal government's. And so I think that's very, very alarming, because what that means is that by encouraging the states to pass gun bans, that with Sotomayor on the Supreme Court, they could get around the Second Amendment and basically disarm the American people at the state level. So we'll watch and see what happens there. All right, we're going to go to the phones. We've got Solomon in Brazil. Aloha, Solomon. What's on your mind today?
Aloha, brother Rivero. Salam aleikum. I was listening to you last Friday, and you really gave us a very powerful last-minute speech about Memorial Day,
mm-hmm.
and I would really like to contribute to you with a little comment about that, and I'm probably elaborate about that in the future. You can do it also with all your knowledge. Would you let me do it?
Yes.
Thank you. I will be nice and polite, and I know that is your show, so you can cut me off anytime that you want.
Okay.
What I really like to that people understand is that one of the reasons we are behaving in the way that we are behaving is because there are three points that we don't ever consider, and I would really like that people keep it in mind. I would call it that power points. One is prevaricate. Prevaricate is hiding the truth. The other one is conflict of interest. And I mention this because we live in a psychopathic society in which we have kind of personality like Bart Simpson. I didn't do it. I didn't do it. I didn't do it. The devil made me do it, et cetera, et cetera. So when we see that and we analyze what is happening today in our society, we also see that the military, and that's one of the key points in all these trouble that we are facing today, they always say, as an example, once a Marine, always a Marine. That you can also translate like once a military, always a military. Well, which one is the difference between a civilian and a military? That's the main difference, is that a civilian almost ever can be militarized. But a military almost never can be civilized. And we see it daily in our society. Our government is completely full of people in uniform. They are not wearing the uniform. We should really ask them to wear the uniform and take a picture and see how many people in the judiciary, in the legislative, in the executive, in the post office, everywhere. So we are living in a kind of dictatorship already. And it's a military
yes.
dictatorship. It's not a civilian one. There are no civilian dictatorships. So what we see here is that it's impossible that people really, really address the topic, because 9 in 10 families, there is one member that is part of the military, or they have a family that is part of the military. So they are not really with the aim to criticize what they are doing or what they have been doing in the past. So what you are doing is perfect. Thank you very much. Please keep hammering, because probably one day we will come to the realization that unless we analyze the topic from that point of view, we will be making the mistakes all over again once and over again. Thank you very much, Brother Rivera. I don't know if you want to interact with me. I will stay on the line if you want to.
Well, basically I'm going to agree with you pretty much. I'm not sure it's as clear-cut as being military versus non-military dictatorship. That we are a dictatorship, I think, is pretty well established, and there are military people involved with it. On the other hand, you got people like Dick Cheney and George Bush who never served in uniform, but they're simply greedy, power-mad, sociopathic personalities. And the problem is that politics as a whole is going to attract the kind of people who really shouldn't have it, whether they're in uniform or out of uniform. And so, and I don't want to disrespect the people who put on the uniform of the United States to protect and serve the country because they're walking their talk. I do very much oppose a government that sort of, abuses that trust and sends these young men and women out as conquering hordes rather than actually, what they, intended to do, which is defend the United States from a foreign threat. But overall, I kind of agree with you. And Solomon, I'm going to have to let you go here because we're almost out of time, and I got a couple of things I got to cover before the end of the show, okay? But please call in again.
To you. Thank you very much, brother. Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot. That was Solomon down in Brazil. And, yeah, we have a lot of people in the government who are in the military. It's part of that whole intermesh that Eisenhower called the military-industrial complex. Now, getting back to Judge Sotomayor and the Second Amendment, rather interesting statistic showed up over the weekend. Over the last 4 months, Americans have purchased enough private firearms and ammunition basically to equip the Chinese army. I mean, it's been a huge volume, and a lot of people were wondering because all the stores have been reporting ammunition shortage, can't get it. A lot of people were saying, is the government somehow engineering the shortage to keep us from stockpiling ammo? It appears that it is a legitimate shortage based on consumer demand. People are buying bullets ahead of the new mandated laser etching system. And they're buying assault weapons ahead of what many expect Barack Obama will attempt to ban them again. And certainly with Sotomayor's prior record on the issue of the Second Amendment, we're not going to have a really sympathetic Supreme Court, certainly not like the one which recently affirmed that the Second Amendment conveys an individual right rather than a collective right to keep and to bear arms. So I have long been commenting that it seems that people don't seem to be getting angry about the torture scandal and the hijacking of our government. And I may be wrong. They may just not be expressing it publicly because they're too polite. And maybe it's time to stop being polite, and I'll get back to that in a little bit. But if people are buying guns in this volume, as these statistics suggest, and the sales figures for companies like Smith & Wesson, they're way, way up right now. So people are buying arms on this degree, especially during hard economic times, then somebody somewhere is expecting a fight. And I don't agree with that, but I understand exactly why it's happening here. And certainly, I think uppermost on everybody's minds right now, we've been seeing it this whole week, is this push for war. Anywhere at all, the rhetoric on Iran is just cranked up again. Haaretz was reporting earlier today that Israel's foreign minister has accused Bolivia and Venezuela of supplying Iran with uranium for their nuclear program. This is a replay of the Niger yellow cake hoax used to sell the war in Iraq. They can't even come up with a new idea. It's like Hollywood. All you're getting are remakes. You know, Day the Earth Stood Still, Taking of Pelham 1-2-3. They just keep redoing the same story over and over again and hope you'll buy another ticket. And this lie is discredited for the same reason, because just as Iraq had plenty of natural uranium in their country and did not need to import any from Niger, Iran has plenty of natural uranium. And neither Bolivia nor Venezuela have uranium mines or do any exporting at all. So it is another complete propaganda to sell us a war we know better than to get into. We'll be back after these words from our sponsors.
Can we talk?
Can we talk?
Can we talk about gun control?
Gun control?
Seems like it should work, doesn't it?
It should work.
You'd think so. Yeah.
Pass the right laws.
Pass the right laws.
And you can disarm the criminals.
You disarm them.
That's the idea.
But the problem is...
The problem?
Criminals don't obey the law.
They don't obey the law.
That's true.
After all, they're criminals.
They're criminals.
Criminals. They'll always find a way to get guns.
No matter how many laws you pass.
Which means
they still have guns.
They still have guns. While the rest of us...
The rest of us?
The rest of us are just left defenseless.
The GCN Radio Network. Providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
listening to the Genesis Communications Network. And now, set your eyes on the future, and let's consider what really happened.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. And we're talking about the push for war. There are too many leaders in the world who are way too deep in financial trouble, political trouble, who see a new global war as their best way out of their problems. I know here in the United States, Obama is desperate to start a war because the American people are getting angry over the economy. They don't understand why their standard of living is having to plummet. And Barack Obama is probably relying on Americans' past history that when there is a major war that we're involved in, not a little police action like Iraq or Afghanistan, but a major war like when we went out and we got them dire Nazis and stuff, that we Americans will forget all of the hardship and we will salute the flag and line up and throw what's left of our money and our children at whoever the designated enemy is. And they're trying to just create Iran as this new horrible enemy. They're playing the same lies all over again they used to sell Iraq. I don't think they're getting any traction with it. They're trying to come up with all these phony polls showing that, yes, Americans think Iran is a threat and we should go, stomp on them. And I've noticed also in the last couple of days, we're seeing this new media campaign intended to portray anybody who doubts the official story about, well, anything, as some kind of a weirdo kook that you'd never want to listen to or invite into your home. You don't want to talk to those kind of people. You know, they think Lee Harvey Oswald had help. What kind of sickos are they? So that's going on. Now, getting over to Korea, because everybody's all upset now. North Korea set off a new underground nuclear test. Now, you need to remember that the U.S. entered into a deal with North Korea, where in exchange for lifting some sanctions and providing some financial help to North Korea, which they need, they've had some problems over there, that North Korea would suspend its development of nuclear weapons. Well, the U.S. didn't keep their half of the bargain. And so North Korea has gone back to developing their own nuclear arsenal. Everybody's all on a Twitter and say, oh, we got to do this. We got to go. Barack Obama's out there saying, I'm committed to ridding the world of nuclear weapons. Well, you could start right here at home. And then there's all those nuclear weapons in Israel that we, the American people, were forced to pay for pretty much. And for which, at least in the first few weapons, the fissionables all came from the United States. Let's start with those, because those are the most dangerous ones out there. After all, for all the talk about Iran and Iraq and North Korea and the danger of nuclear proliferation, one and only one nation has ever actually used a nuclear weapon against the civilians of another country. And that nation is the United States of America. So if we're going to create a nuclear-free world, it might be best to start at home, since our nukes do have blood on them at the moment. Now, getting back from that, this whole situation with North Korea, folks, this is a replay of the Saddam gambit. Remember when we were being sold the necessity for war in Iraq and they were talking about the poison gas and the biological weapons and this and that that Saddam Hussein was known to have had? And we knew he had them because we sold them to him. Donald Rumsfeld sold Saddam Hussein the starter elements for his chemical and biological weapons. Now, Saddam later on destroyed them. They were not there when the inspectors went in after the investigation. And certainly if he'd still had them, he would have used them during the invasion. That's the reason you have weapons like that. And the world would have viewed him as justified in doing that. So here we are with North Korea. North Korea is building nuclear bombs, and everyone's going, horrors, how did they get there? Well, has to do with something called a light water nuclear reactor, which is capable of producing weapons-grade plutonium as it operates. Guess who sold North Korea their light water nuclear reactors? Donald Rumsfeld. And guess who got to pay for most of them? You did. This is the same game all over again. We give a nutcase in another country a bunch of really dangerous technology, and then 20 years down the road we say, look, that nut job has dangerous technology. We've got to go invade them. And it just cranks up all over again. And we, the American taxpayers, are paying for both sides of the war. We paid for Saddam's weapons. We pay for the American weapons used to go in and break Saddam's weapons. Remember when Bill Clinton attacked that aspirin factory in Sudan? We not only got to pay for the cruise missiles at $1 million a pop, we got to pay to rebuild the aspirin factory when they sued the United States and won. It's just all about sucking money out of you any way they can. And the newest absurdity, getting away from weapons of mass destruction and guns and the rest of it, the U.S. government is now proposing to establish guidelines for diet and lifestyle to fight global warming. Remember, I've been telling you all along, this is a scam to bring about global government. It's a scam to take money out of your pocket for carbon credits, which is a product that has been created out of thin air. It's like a Federal Reserve note. It's just a piece of paper with some fancy printing on it. It's not really worth anything. There's nothing to it. It's just the piece of paper. That's what the carbon credit is. It's a new form of currency that they can play Enron-style games with. And they're now using global warming to justify coming in and telling you what you will eat and when and how you will live your lives in order to minimize your impact on planet Earth. They're going to come back with remote control thermostats, remote controls on all of your appliances, so the government will decide when you can use your appliances and when you should not. And as I mentioned earlier in the show, Obama's agenda is to get as many of us out of our cars and onto trains and buses and pedestrian walkways as he can. He's totally, totally bought into this idea that planet Earth has to be protected from us icky-poo humans at any and all costs. And so they're going to basically just put us in this little terrarium over to one side, crowd us all in, just jam us in there. Doesn't matter, you know, there's always room for a few more, so that the rest of the world will be beautiful and verdant and natural, or at least what passes for natural, to be enjoyed by the wealthy elite, I guess. But again, it's just another excuse to tell you how to live your life, and it's not for your benefit. It's for the benefit of the ruling body. All right, before we finish up on the show today, I want to mention one thing. The torture scandal is not going away. We've actually had one of the torturers come forward and go public and saying that the use of torture is actually resulting in more American deaths in Afghanistan and Iraq for two reasons. The first of all is the fact that these people are being tortured is what's angering potential recruits and getting them mad enough to sign up and fight the American invader. And second, and this is my observation, and it makes perfectly good sense, if you are going to persuade your enemy to surrender to you, to avoid a long and bloody battle, they must be convinced that they're going to be treated humanely after they surrender. That is the primary reason for treating prisoners of war well, is so that when you, in future engagements, when you're looking at an enemy, they're going to be thinking, well, do I want to risk dying here, or should I just surrender? And I understand that, you know, it's not great being a POW, but they're, you know, it's three meals a day and a roof over my head, which is more than I've got here in the trenches. But if the enemy knows that being captured means death by torture, then they are going to fight to the death. There will be no surrender. And that means there will be more casualties on both sides of the line. And that is another reason why this torture situation is an absolute, absolute mistake. And this idea that Dick Cheney's putting out that we're saving American lives is nonsense. We are increasing the number of people who are killed and crippled in these wars because the enemy knows they've got nothing to gain by surrendering, and they will fight to the death and take as many of us with them as they possibly can. So, anyway, we're almost to the end of our show. I'm looking in the chat room. Somebody's talking about, with all of the depleted uranium these people are using, there's no way there'll be any safe haven left on our planet. That's actually true. If you take air samples and put them through a mass spectrometer, you can, to this very day, still detect traces of all the above-ground nuclear tests in history. Chernobyl, Three Mile Island is out there. And, of course, all this depleted uranium that is being used around the world, and we're just finding out now Israel was using it on Gaza. Why? Depleted uranium is used to bust tanks and bunkers, neither of which the Palestinians have. So, yeah, it's out there. It turns into dust. It's basically poisoning the planet. And it's not poisoning it just for our generation. The half-life of depleted uranium is 4.5 billion, with a B, years. Which means that this ground will be radioactive for far longer than Earth has even been in existence. You think about that one for a while. All right, that's it for our show. We'll be back tomorrow, Wednesday, hump day. My goodness, how the week is flying past. So until then, stay safe, be well, hug your loved ones, drive carefully, and aloha, America.